going fishing. You know, fishing is not one of my favorite hobbies, but I know for some of you in here, you do enjoy fishing. And we are going to learn about someone who also enjoyed fishing, but we are going to learn how God had a higher call and a higher purpose for Peter, is what we're going to talk about. So John chapter 21, look what it says in verse number 1. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Verse 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Past failures do not cancel God's calling. Has there been a time that you remember that you have failed? You know, how did you feel at that moment? You know, we hear stories about people who you would consider them an underdog. You know, maybe at the beginning they messed up, they made some mistakes, but then they use that as motivation to keep going, motivation so that it does not happen again. And many times we see people that begin to fail and have those mistakes, we see them begin to doubt their abilities and doubt that they could do that particular task. I was playing a pickup basketball game with Brother Noah and another friend of mine, Jacob Michael, and we were just at first just taking some shots, you know, nothing too serious. And I remember I got the basketball and I shot it and I missed it. They gave me the rebound, I shot it and missed it again. And this sequence started to continue to the point that at first, Brother Noah, he was in front of me holding his hands up. But by the time I had missed so many shots, he had stepped away, his hands went down, and then he was sitting on the bench, and I was still missing. I can tell you, I did not feel the most spiritual at that moment. If you would have asked me, did I love Brother Noah, I wouldn't have said yes automatically, but I felt like I couldn't do anything. I felt like I couldn't make a shot. It was not good. You know, many times when we fail, sometimes we think that maybe we're not good enough. Maybe we don't know how to do this thing. Maybe it's better for someone else to do it. And this is what I think Peter was dealing with right now. Peter was a brother of Andrew. He was a fisherman who was called to follow Jesus. He was one of the disciples who left everything to follow Jesus. He was someone who followed Jesus very closely. You see, a disciple in those days, it's something more than we understand the term this morning. A disciple was someone who followed their teacher, their rabbi, very closely. They walked with them, they lived with them so that they could understand everything that the teacher was explaining or trying to teach. That was how they were trained, and that was their call. And they left everything that they knew to follow Jesus. We understand that Peter was the disciple who had a lot of high moments, but he also had a lot of low moments. He was the one who confessed who Jesus was. He said, thou art the Son of the living God. But he was also the one who said, he rebuked Jesus. He was the one who stepped out of the boat and walked on water. He had faith, but then he began to sink. He declared loyalty to Jesus, said that if everyone leaves, I'll still be with you. But then, while Jesus was on trial, he denied ever knowing Jesus. Can you imagine how Peter felt? He betrayed his teacher. He betrayed Jesus, who called him from fishing. He had already seen the resurrected Jesus. He had already met Jesus at some time after his resurrection. But he was still bothered, and he was still doubting. And he went back to what he knew in those verses when he said, I go fishing. I'm sure he felt worthless, useless, and he was even doubting what he was supposed to do at this time. So he went back to what he had always done. He went back fishing. This morning, have you made mistakes in your past that right now has been dictating your future? Do you feel like God cannot use you because of what you have done? I'm going to tell you this morning that God is not done with you yet. He wants to use you. And in this story in John chapter 21, we are going to find out how God restored Peter and how, in spite of his mistakes, God still had a purpose for him. As we keep reading in this chapter, we see in verse 3, they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They went fishing all night and they caught nothing. I'm not sure what motivated Peter to go fishing, but whatever it was that he wanted to do, he wasn't successful in it. He went fishing and they caught nothing. I'm sure this was a strange thing to Peter. It was more discouraging than anything. But then, look what it says in verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. See, at this point, they did not know that this was Jesus. They just thought it was some ordinary man that was just on the beach there, and they thought that he was just interested in how their fishing was going. But then, Jesus performs a miracle. Look what it says in verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Jesus performs a miracle by telling them to cast the nets on the other side of the boat. I'm sure that maybe once they started fishing, maybe they tried that side, maybe they were moved over to the other side, but we know that their nets were not on the right side until Jesus told them to do it, and they did. You see, this was their job. They had to provide food for their families. This is what they did. And Jesus provides a miracle for them. You know, Jesus could have said, you know, what are you doing in that boat? Why are you fishing right now? Get out of that boat and follow me. He could have said that. But he provided for their need. And it was then that they recognized who Jesus was. This was the man who they walked with. This was the man that they had seen after he had resurrected. And he performs this miracle. And we see that as soon as Peter knew that it was God, he jumped into the water to swim over to where Jesus was. I find it very interesting that Peter still had a desire to be with Jesus. He still desired to be with him and have fellowship. But in the next several verses, we're going to learn that this isn't about fellowship, but this is rather about commitment. This morning, do you believe that God has more in store for you than just what you are doing right now? God had more for Peter than he could imagine, but Peter needed to be restored, and he needed to decide if he was going to follow God. In verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. In verse number 11, they bring the fish, and Jesus has a breakfast prepared for the disciples. And then comes the story, and here comes the message that God has for Peter. This morning, I want us to look at three important factors of how Peter went from fishing to following Jesus again. Let's look what it says in verse number 15. Notice the request. Verse number 15, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? This is the question that he had for Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? You see, he claimed to love Jesus more than anything else. He claimed to want to do more for Jesus than anyone else. And Jesus is asking him this question. Lovest thou me more than these? What are all these? Well, these could be many different things. It could be his home region. could be his job being a fisherman. It could have been his successful catch. It could have been the boat. It could have been the nets. But what Jesus was asking was if these things, if Peter loved Jesus more than these things. His question was, where is your affection? What matters more to you, Peter? That's what he was asking. As a Christian, we need to make the decision on where our affections are going to be. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. See, Jesus is asking Peter where his love at, because it would be this thing, what his love was at, was the where he was going to be committed to. It was going to be what Peter loved, and that was what Peter was going to do. The world offers a lot of distractions this morning, a lot of things that we could set our affections on. Some may be bad and some may not be bad at all. But if we are identifying with Christ, if we are identifying with what he wants us to do, we have to have our eyes set on Christ. Where are your affections this morning? Is it on following Christ and knowing him? Or is it on the things of this world that can be distractions? We understand the story of the rich young ruler who went to Jesus and said, Master, what must I do to be saved? What do I need to do? And the answer that Jesus gave him was, hey, sell all your things and follow me. And the verse says that he walked away very sorrowful, because that's what his affections were. His affections were on his wealth, what he had, what he could accumulate for this world. And this morning, if that is what our affections are on this morning, then we can't move forward for Christ. We can't truly grow the way he wants us to do. Where are your affections this morning? Are you following him? Peter went back to where he was familiar with and what he wanted to do, and that was to go fishing. And there was nothing wrong with fishing. My only issue with fishing is that when I go, I typically don't catch anything. But what Peter knew was where his affections were at. Notice the part where it says, more than. See, this was a comparison. Because if it was up to Peter, his love for God would not have outweighed his love for everything else. That's what we need to ask ourselves. Does our love for Jesus outweigh everything else? Where is your love for Jesus this morning in comparison to other things? We talked about Abraham a few weeks ago, how that he had faith in God to sacrifice Isaac. Even though he didn't know what was going to happen, he didn't know what the outcome, what the future would be, he still had faith in Jesus, because he loved him. And that love showed through his obedience. Look what it says as we continue in verse 15. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And then in verse 17, he says it again. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Jesus is asking him a third time. But here's the difference in each of these times that he's asking him. In verse 15, he asked Peter if he loved him more than these. But then the next two times that Jesus asks him, he just asks if he loves him. You know, when you read about Peter as he was walking with Jesus, he tried to do everything to prove himself, didn't he? He tried, he said, oh, I can do this. I'm going to do this for you, Jesus. If everyone leaves, I'm still going to be with you. But this two times, Jesus asked if he loved him. You know, we can claim to die for Jesus. We can claim to serve Jesus. We can claim to want to obey Jesus. But ultimately, it's going to be who or what we love that will decide what we sacrifice for. If we love Jesus and if we desire to follow him and be more like him, then we will obey him and we will want to follow him. See, Jesus didn't want to just restore Peter's service. He wanted to restore Peter. And we see that Peter knew who Jesus was. He had the knowledge of who God was. But he needed to decide that he was going to love Jesus more than anything. This was the request that Jesus had. Do you love me more than these things? Do you even love me? Look what it says in the second part of verse 17. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Can you imagine Peter in front of all the disciples? I'm sure he still has in the back of his mind what he did to Jesus. And Jesus is specifically looking at Peter, asking these questions in front of everyone. I'm sure it was a very awkward. I'm sure it was uncomfortable for Peter. But Jesus is going to recommission Peter. But he has a job for Peter. Notice the restoration in the second part of verse 17. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. What is he saying here? Jesus is saying that if you love me, if you claim to love me, if you say that I love you more than these things, then ultimately that love is going to show in the way you treat people. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not a coincidence that Jesus asked this to Peter three times. It's not a coincidence that this is in front of the other disciples. Peter was restored and he was commissioned to feed the flock. But ultimately, all love for God is shown in the way that we treat others. That's how we are identified, and that's what Jesus is trying to explain to Peter here. He's trying to explain that, Peter, you know, you claim to do all these things. You claim to want to die for me. You claim to want to serve me. But ultimately, your love for me is going to show in how you treat one another. That's what he's saying. Look what it says in John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's how we are identified as Christians. We are known by our love for one another. Peter needs to learn, it needs to be restored, that his love is where his affections are going to be at. But God's love is shown in the way he treats people. You see, it wouldn't just be words that Peter was good at, but it would be shown through his actions. What do your actions say about you this morning? To your friends, to your coworkers, do they know that you love God based on the way that you treat others? You know, sometimes it's our actions that matter the most. Anyone could say words, it's very easy to, but it's your actions that reveal the most about you. Verse 18, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Even though Peter decided to go fishing, God had a higher plan and a purpose for Peter. It did not matter Peter's mistakes. It did not matter his impulsiveness, which we will see again in the next few verses. But he still had a plan and a purpose. You know, there may be someone this morning that feels like you've messed up or you've made a mistake and that you can no longer be used for God. You know, God still wants to use you in the midst of your mistakes and in the midst of your shortcomings. God still has a plan for you. He said in verse number 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. You see, God's plan for Peter was not just for him to glorify him with his life, but also in his death that he would bring glory to God. That should be our goal as Christians, that in whatsoever we do, we should bring glory to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Is God being glorified in everything that you are doing? As Christians, the way we live, the way we treat one another, it shows who we love. but it's also pointing to someone. What picture or what idea do people have of God based through your life? Do they see the love of God through you? Do they see that you love to serve God? It says, "In whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Peter's death was going to glorify God, but ultimately God's purpose for Peter and God's purpose for each and every one of us is that all lives would bring glory to him. 1 Peter 4:16 says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Even in our trials, even in our temptations, even when we are going through some difficult times, all lives can still bring glory to God. It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't be based on our circumstances. It shouldn't matter if whether we have food on our table, clothes on our back. It shouldn't matter if we are going through a trial. We should still live a life that honors and glorifies God. Why did God want to restore Peter? Why did he still want to commission Peter? Why did he go through this awkward and uncomfortable time for Peter? Look what it says in the ending part of verse 19. "And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." Follow me. That's what Jesus said. Think of it, all those years before, when he was just being a fisherman, the first time that Jesus said, follow him. The second time, Jesus said, hey, follow me. You know, isn't it very interesting that sometimes the things that we don't do are sometimes the most easiest things to do? Sometimes we think, oh, this issue that I'm going through, it's because of this, it's because of this. When sometimes it just needs to go back to what we know we should do. Being in God's word, praying, being in church. I'm sure Peter thought that there was no use for him, but I wonder if Peter thought that maybe it would take this elaborate thing to bring him back. No. All Jesus said was, follow me. See, the purpose is following Christ throughout his entire life. This morning I want to ask you, are you following Christ? Is he your priority? Even though Peter was just fishing, God's plan for Peter was that his life would bring glory to him. And that was what Jesus wanted him to do. Just follow me. You don't have to say, oh, I'm going to die for you. You don't have to say, oh, I'm going to do all these things. Peter, all you have to do is follow Jesus. And this morning, if you are wondering, what do I need to do to be restored? What do I need to do to continue to serve God? Just follow Christ. Obey what he has commissioned you to do. Do exactly what he wants you to do. Glorify him, but also follow him. How can I follow Christ? Well, you're doing exactly what he wants you to do. You're here this morning, hearing from God's word, but also it's at home. Opening God's word, learning more about him. That's what Paul said, that I want to know him and be found in him. Just follow Christ. But notice, Peter also had a responsibility. Look what it says in verse number 20. So I'll read verse 19 again. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me." And look what it says in verse 20. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Verse 21, "Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?" In very Peter fashion, as soon as Jesus commissions him to go and follow Jesus, to follow him, automatically Peter's looking around, looking at, oh, what's this disciple going to do? In very Peter fashion, he says that. See, Peter is already concerned about what someone else is going to do. That's not what Jesus asked him to do. Jesus just asked Peter to follow him. He didn't ask Peter about John's love for him. He didn't ask Peter about all these other disciples' love for him. He was just dealing with Peter. But Peter was concerned about what someone else was doing. You know, many times we compare ourselves. Many times when we know what God has commanded us to do, then we look at someone else and say, oh, but what's that person doing? What's that church over here doing? We're so concerned about everything else, and we are not focused on what God has called us to do. See, we have been given a mission. We have been given a call, and that's what Jesus was doing for Peter. He was telling Peter that, Peter, follow me. He was recommissioning him. He had a job. He wanted to restore the relationship with Peter, and Peter was already looking at someone else. You know, many times we worry so much about what everyone else is doing that we forget about what God has called us to do here. You know, as a church, we have responsibility. We have our Marshall missions coming up, and we're going to hear about all that God is doing around the world, and it will be a great time to recommission our giving, to get our eyes off of us and to focus on what God is doing all around us. But if we worry so much about different things going on, things that may not be bad, but it's still a distraction, we can forget the call that God has called us to do. And that is what we should be focused on. And that's what Jesus is telling Peter in verse 22. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus tells Peter, do not worry about him. Do not worry about what his purpose is. Just focus on following me. Now, it's amazing how comparison can distract us from what we are supposed to do. It's amazing how just trying to figure out what someone else is doing, how that can distract us in our walk with God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not wise. God has a plan for that person. God has a purpose for that person. But God's command for you individually, what does he want you to do? What is your next step that he wants you to take? That's what we should be focused on. Peter was too focused on what John was doing. You know, Peter had a habit of always looking ahead, didn't he? He wanted to look at others. He wanted to look at everything. When God wanted to focus, God wanted Peter to focus on him. He wanted to know what his reward for following Christ would be. He said, God, we've abandoned everything to follow thee. What are we going to get for that? That's what Peter said. He wanted to know who would betray Jesus. He wanted to know everything. He wanted to know everything and anything. Even when he was walking on water, he got focused on the waters, on the storm. He took his eyes off of Jesus. Have you noticed that it is difficult to focus on what's going on in front of you if we're looking at everything that's going on around us? So some of you may know, you know, baseball season is starting up, and for those of you who have played baseball, the coaches always say, focus on the ball. As soon as the pitcher pitches the pitch at you, focus on the ball. You know, Aaron Judge, he won the home run leader last season. I'm sure as he was in the batting box, I wonder if he said, man, I wonder what the other manager is thinking right here. Man, I wonder if that over that fence, I wonder if I could hit it past that house. I wonder if I could hit the ball and it'll hit a car. That would be great. Man, I wonder if I could hit this 500 yards. That's not what he was thinking. For him to accumulate all those home runs, his focus had to stay the same. He had to focus on hitting the ball. And if he was worried about everything else around him, his focus would leave. This morning, if we all focus on everything around us, we're not going to be able to truly follow and walk with God the way we should if we are always distracted. Focusing on what you don't have, focusing on what this other individual have, focusing on the abilities and talents of other people is not going to get you anywhere. And the Bible said that it's through all weakness he is made strong. So instead of focusing on what you don't have, focus on who is in you that can help you fulfill your God's will for your life. Focus on the call that God has for you. Run your race faithfully and God will bless. You know, this is something that we all need to work on. It's something that I need to work on. Because God has made everyone different. And God has a plan for each and every person. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Focus on what God has done for you. You know, just because Peter failed didn't mean that God's calling was removed from him. He still had a plan for Peter, and God still has a plan for you. It was simple. The restoration was simple. He said, Peter, just follow me. And that's how he was recommissioned. This year, are you going to focus on following Jesus? Do you feel like you are unusable to God? You know, you may be here this morning and maybe you are just fishing. Maybe you're just going through the motions. Maybe you thought that God had a plan for you, but then some mistakes came. You messed up a couple of times, and now you feel like there was nothing that you can do. No, God's plan is still a purpose for you. He still has a plan for you. And this morning, his will, first of all, is to have a relationship with each and every one of you. That's why God sent his son to die on the cross for you and for me, for the whole world. That is why he purposely restored Peter, because his desire was a relationship and for him to be used mightily. And God's will for the whole world is that the whole world might be saved. But the decision is up to you. If you are here this morning and you are not in a relationship with Jesus, he loves you and he has a plan for you. And all you have to do is receive him. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're this morning, maybe you have a relationship with him, but maybe you've made a few mistakes. Maybe you feel unusable. Maybe you feel like God can't use you anymore. Well, let me tell you that in spite of your mistakes, in spite of your shortcomings, he still wants to use you. It doesn't matter what you have done this morning. You can come back and you can be restored. Don't just go fishing. Decide to follow Jesus. Peter said, I go a fishing. Jesus said, follow me. The decision is up to you. Will you go back or will you continue to follow Jesus? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message from your word. I pray that you would speak to hearts this morning. Father, I'm sure there are people in this room, me including, we've all made mistakes. We have all had our shortcomings. But thank you that you still want to use us. I pray that we would desire to follow you. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask if anyone would stand this morning as we have a time of invitation. And there are two questions that I want to ask you. How many of you here this morning would say, I do not have a relationship with God? I have been just trying to do things on my own, day to day. I have just been trying to just get through the week. But I want to have the joy of the Lord. I want to follow Christ. How many of you will say, I need God to save me this morning so I can have a relationship with him? How many of you would say, Brother Ben, that's me. I would like to have a relationship with God. Just raise your hand. No one is looking around. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I would just like to pray for you. Thank you. I see the hand. Thank you. Thank you. Now, how many of you are here this morning? Are there any Christians that are here that would say, I have a relationship with God. I am on my way to heaven. But I've made some mistakes. I've messed up. I've been living in my past. I feel like God just can't use me. Well, I'm here to tell you, His love hasn't changed for you. He still wants to use you. How many of you are saying, I want to get back in fellowship with God? I want to be restored this morning. I want to be in close fellowship with Him. And I want to be used of God. If that's you, go and raise your hand. No one's looking around. I want to be used of God. Oh, hands all around. Thank you. You may put your hands down. There's a time of invitation. The altar is open. If you'd like to come down and pray this morning, there's people here in the front who would love to pray with you, who would love to help you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message from your word this morning. Father, I pray that each and every one of us will make the decision to follow you. Thank you that you still desire to use us in a great and mighty way. I pray that we would rely on you for strength. I thank you for all you've done and what you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. For anyone who